Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. The scripture, if you look through the New Testament, there are multiple places that separate you out into three parts. And we know for sure one of them, as far as spirit and soul goes, is talking about the word being sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide the spirit and the soul. If you understand that and what he's talking about, it'll tie in. As we move forward, you'll see it, but it ties into exactly what we're talking about. If you understand and you begin, as you understand and as you begin to see who you are in Christ when what happened to you when you're born again, everything that you're up against starts to look small, okay? And how many know, you guys all know this, but none of us is exempt from stuff happening in life. Stuff happens. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So that overcoming of the world now lives in you. And so that's what we're talking about. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll start here. Last week we talked about what it meant to be born again, and I'm just going to hit this point, and then we're going to talk about the mind, but I want you to see this. I think I breezed through this at the end last week trying to fit it in, not realizing that I was the preacher this week too, and every week. I don't know why I do that. I'm like, I'm sitting there, even when I'm preparing it, the Lord's like, slow down, Sean. Just slow down. Just slow down. Okay. You're right. We're not going anywhere. We're coming back next week. It's all going to be okay. I don't know if I have too much of an evangelist mindset in some of that stuff or what. I think what it is, I just get too excited and don't want to save any. I just want to give it all. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted, this is the Amplified. Actually, I'll read it to you in the New King James, and then I'll just make some comments. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, oops, I skipped a page there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, here's what the Mirror Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, now, in light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ you are a brand new person. So notice that the first thing he hits there in this translation, or that paraphrase of it, is this: whoever you thought you were before no longer exists. You are now in Christ. So I don't know if you noticed, but on the last part of what he was talking about there, the main part of the Christian walk, once you're born again, is the renewal of your mind. It's getting your thinking in line with Jesus and who and God and what Christ has done for you. So he says this, he says, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ you are now a brand new person. He says, the old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. I like that, because he adds that as well. Because did you know that the, now I'm going to make a statement here and it's going to sound like it's off, but it's not, okay? And I'll qualify it with the statement afterwards, okay? Did you know that the price for every sin has already been paid? That God, in his mind, has already paid the price for every sin from the beginning, okay? Before, do you realize that, okay? Now, that does not mean everybody's saved, okay? I'll put it to you like this. You know, people will make statements, you know, we're all creatures of God, yes, but not everybody is a son or a daughter of God. God has rights to you by being the creator, but he doesn't enforce it. He doesn't make you believe in him. He doesn't make you become his son or daughter. He has rights to you by the fact that Jesus paid the price for your sin. But he still lets you choose. And then he only exercises rights to you, as we might call it, when you give him the right to. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus, in other words, I'll say it another way. All sin has been paid for, past, present, and future, in Christ. And another way that I can prove this to you is that Jesus doesn't have to die again. So have you committed a sin that there's no forgiveness for? No. Do you know what the one unpardonable sin is? It's not on God's end, is it? Do you know that there are people in the insane asylum because they think they've committed the unpardonable sin? If you desire at any level to have a relationship with God, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. It's impossible. The unpardonable sin is the sin of, I reject Jesus. If you reject Jesus, is there any payment for your sin? No. So that's the unpardonable sin. People sometimes get hung up on that. So if you ever run into that, you can just tell them, well, do you want to have a relationship with God? And they'll say, oh, yes, I do. Well, then there's no way you've committed the unpardonable sin. It's over. The discussion's over because you're free. So anyway, that's how we know that everything's been paid for. Jesus has completed the work, which will make, you know, separation from God will even be worse when you understand that. You know what I mean? Because you understand the only thing that kept you out is you or your unwillingness to yield to God's design for you. Okay? So he says this, acquaint yourself with the new. So in this Mirror Bible, it says this, the old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. Acquaint yourself with the new. The footnote in it says this, Jesus did not reveal a potential you. He revealed the truth about you so that you may know the truth about yourself and be free. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God did not redeem a compromised replica of you. He rescued the original blueprint you, created in his radiant mirror likeness. Any other self you're trying to find or esteem will disappoint. Okay? Any other self. You know, there's a big push in our culture, and there's nothing wrong with it necessarily, to find out your roots. You know, have you seen the DNA things, what's a major one of those things where you like send your saliva in and they, ancestry or, yeah, some of those. Anyway, I don't know. I get you probably do some cotton thing in your mouth, so they check your DNA. And I've seen these, you know, commercials and I laugh at them. Because I find him amusing. I would do the thing probably too. It wouldn't bother me to do it. But this one guy was raised totally German, his family. And he was German, and he was 56% Scottish and Irish. So he traded in his German whatever for a kilt, he said, you know. But people are looking for this identity. What am I? Who am I? And so they search through their feelings. Okay? They search through their mind. They search through their history, you know. I was, you know, and this is a big, big deal. But in all reality, the reason why you'll never be satisfied is because you didn't find yourself in God. The moment you find yourself in God, the rest don't matter. You know what I mean? When you find yourself in God, it doesn't matter if you're what color your skin is. You just realize some people have been left in the doughy stage. Some people were cooked longer. Do you understand what I'm saying? None of that matters. Because the reality is we all came from God, and the only satisfaction in identity will be when you realize you're supposed to go back to him. That'll be your only satisfaction. So he says this. He said, any other self you're trying to find or esteem will disappoint. Well, if I have this kind of vehicle, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. You'll be happy for happenstance reasons for a little while, and then you'll be depressed in a really nice car. You know, I mean, a really nice car is unless you have the joy of the Lord and the love of God. I mean, I sat in Mike's Mercury Lynx, his 1987 Mercury Lynx. It was bright orange. And when you sat in the seat, you had to work to get out of it. Because it was conformed to somebody prior to me. But there was peace in that car. Because why? Mike prayed in the Holy Ghost in the car all the time. So there's peace in the car. So it doesn't matter. The vehicle doesn't matter. It's what's in you that matters. It's what's in you. So he says, any other, I'm going to say it again because it just needs to be said again. Any other self you're trying to find or esteem will disappoint. We are reconnected with our original genesis through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We are reconnected with our original genesis. In other words, God created Adam and God created Eve. And how did he create them? Perfectly. We are reconnected to that in the spirit when we're born again. You did not get a deficient Jesus. I'm telling you, I'll just say it again. The devil hates this message. He hates it. Why? Because the point of being a Christian, the thing that Jesus demonstrated over and over and over again, and that the apostles kept reiterating was, you can walk as Jesus walked. Now, you can't be the Son of God, but you are a son or daughter of God, and you carry the victory that he carried. Do you see that? And you have to go look at this, and then you have to look at it again, and then you have to look at it again, and then you have to meditate on it, and then you have to look at it again. But what begins to happen is there's this fire hose water effect on your brain that blows all the other trash that was the world conforming out. And God's image of you, as you look into the mirror of the Word, you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You say, how will I know when I see it? You get excited when you read it. You go, oh, how could that, yeah, I mean, it's got to be because he said it. And it almost takes you back just a little bit, but you got to stay after it and stay after it and stay after it. And as you do, you begin to manifest the resurrection in your life. Whether it's, you know, he talked about physical healing, it's physical healing. He talked about peace of mind. It's peace of mind. Do you know peace of mind is connected to physical healing? Holy smokes. Big time. But if you don't see yourself being subject to the conforming of this world, but yet you see yourself as one who's born again with a transformation taking place of the knowledge of God in your mind, you begin to function out of heaven rather than out of the earth. To be carnally minded is death. You know, sometimes, and you have to look at the Bible to understand this, but death doesn't necessarily mean just physically dying. Death is in all sorts of things. Death is permeated through the culture. Does that make sense? And so you have to see yourself and begin to renew your mind to who God has called you to be, that original, you are back from the dead. Jesus has raised you from the dead already. And if all you do is identify with this tent, your physical body, that's frustrating to hear. Do you know actually this physical body is already resurrected? The price has already been paid. Did you realize that? It's already been paid. It's the last enemy to be put underfoot, but it's already been paid for. Jesus does not need to come and die so your body can be raised from the dead again. The price has already been paid. So it's already resurrected. It's already got the payment. You might as well just tattoo paid for across you. And people go, I don't want this body back. When Jesus resurrection is done with your body, you will want it back. You will want it back. I know Jesse Duplantis says all the time, he's believing to be taller in the resurrection tomorrow. So. The new birth endorses and celebrates the hope of all the ages. God's eternal love dream concludes in life. Verse 21, we read this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." So we're looking at this new person again still. The mirror says this, "This is the divine exchange. He who knew no sin embraced our distortion." I love this. He embraced my distortion. Do you know I am no longer distorted? I am no longer distorted. He embraced it. He appeared to be without form. This was the mystery of God's prophetic poetry. He was disguised in our distorted image and marred with our iniquities. He took our sorrows, our pain, and our shame to his grace and birthed his righteousness in us. Everything that was twisted in you before is now in right order in the Spirit. Everything that was twisted in you before is now in right order in the Spirit. You are right on the inside. You are as right as Jesus is right. In your spirit. Can I ask you a question? If you're not, how are you going to get into heaven? How are you going to get in? Come on, think with me. I'm going to hit this one really hard. Okay, I'm going to pound it because there's so much condemnation in the body of Christ and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize how much we live in it. If you're not clean by the blood, if you're not pure by the blood, if you're not pure by the work of Jesus Christ, how are you going to get into heaven? Because there's only one way getting in. What's going to happen between your body falling off and you getting there? What work could you possibly do between now and then? Come on. You can't. Jesus, we sing this song. We don't even believe it. Jesus paid it all. Except for, come on. See, Mark helped me with my message today because he posted that he's going to do that song on Sunday. So it helped me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. What does that mean? That means Jesus is in heaven going, come on, you owe me this. No, 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 no. That means he laid down his life for me. I lay mine down for you. But my salvation is complete. You're still tripping on it. If your entrance to eternity with your Father hinges on anything but the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are in trouble. Because nobody sitting here is perfect in and of yourself. But when you understand and you put all of your being over on him, it will release you to live out of what he's put in you. And you have to fight for this. It won't just happen. It's not going to just, I mean, you can, you know, as believers, we sit in good services. And as believers, you know, we enjoy fellowship. We enjoy worship. We enjoy the tangible presence of God. But if you want real freedom, you got to fight for this. And there's nobody that can fight for you. You have to fight for you. Now, we'll fight with you. But I cannot win the victory for you. Does that make sense? He says this. He took our sins and we became his innocence. Okay, this is going to help you. Say it with me. I am his innocence. I am innocent in Christ. You'll sleep better at night. You'll forget about the mistakes of your past and just let them go. Why? Jesus isn't thinking about them. God's not thinking about him. He separated him as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever tried to run east and hit west? It's impossible. Just so you know. You can't hit it. Christ died for us while we were what? He loved us before we while we were his what? his enemies. And then what does John say? If he loved us while we were his enemies, how much more does he love you now? See, here's another good thing for you to tattoo across your forehead. Much more. You know what I mean? Much more. Much more. If you hear the Holy Ghost, he'll say to you, I love you much more. Because it lines up with the word, right? Now see, people go, well, you preach like this, people are going to, they have a license to sin. People sin without a license, just fine. They're doing whatever they want, whenever they want it. I am not the law police. You know what I mean? Make sure everybody does what they're supposed to do. Now, I'll warn you, if you just continue to live in junk, it will cost you. But it isn't God in heaven going, I can't stand him anymore. Whack. He's not doing that because he has redemption eyeglasses on. He's trying to redeem. But the more you understand how much God loves you, you'll stop trying to fill the voids in your life with sin. Because you'd be satisfied. You're satisfied. You could just sit there and go, I'm good, man. I'm good. Well, you know, because that's why I did drugs. I was trying to escape. Until I found Jesus. And then I'm like, what am I escaping from? It's not an issue of, it's the issue of I didn't know who I was in relationship to God. But when you understand that, when he became your sin and you became his innocence, oh, praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says this in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works. Oh, I love this. Which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Listen to this. We are engineered by his design. He molded and manufactured us in Christ. We are engineered by God's design, and we are molded and manufactured in Christ. We are his workmanship. He is the potter. We are his workmanship, his poetry. God finds inspired expression of Christ in us. The Greek word for workmanship is poeima, poema maybe? I don't know. We are fully fit to do good. I love this. Equipped, the Greek word for, or equipped to give attractive evidence of his likeness in us in everything we do. In everything we do. God has done everything possible to find spontaneous and effortless expression of his character in us in our everyday lifestyle. The word translates a notion that God has prepared a highway for us to lead us out like kings, just like the Oriental custom where people would go before a king to level the roads to make it possible for the king to journey with ease and comfort. He has predestined you, and not only predestined you, pre-manufactured you to live in a place of victory in him. But you have to find your identity in him. And it has to be built and worked. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, godlike in true righteousness and holiness. That's the Amplified. The Mirror Bible says this, immerse yourself into this God-shaped new person from above. You are created in the image and likeness of God. This is what righteousness and true holiness are all about. Galatians 6:15 says, for neither is circumcision now of any importance nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus the Messiah. That's the Amplified. The Mirror Bible says this, the new creation in Christ steals the show. Not whether someone is circumcised or not. God associated us in Christ. When he died, we died. When he was raised, we were raised together with him in newness of life. God associated you in Christ. So in other words, everything that you were went into Jesus, and everything that he is went into you. Now, the only linchpin in this for us, and there's actually a couple, but one of the main ones is this. We, and you remember the valve on the video? We have to get our mind in line with our spirit. Okay? So, when we were born again, our spirit is the part that was completely changed. So next, we have to renew our minds. So Romans 12, let's go there. We'll probably end there too. But we'll start there. Romans 12, verse 1 says this, the New King James. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, and that's the sister in too, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. Now, I'm going to make a statement right here on verse 3. Most people read that and go, yeah, that's right. We got to watch out. We don't want to get too high-minded. We don't think of yourself. Don't be over esteem yourself. I'm going to flip the head on that. You're actually supposed to think of yourself as being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that's far above all principality, power, and might, and wickedness, and every lofty thing that exalts itself against God. That's how you're supposed to think of you. You're supposed to think of you in line with what God says about you in Christ. And when you do that, it's not too high. It's just right. Wait till we read the Mirror translation of that. Have you ever noticed how stubborn some thought patterns can be? You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed how certain phrases just come out of you in certain situations? Don't even got to try. You have established thought patterns in you that have to be washed, rooted out. The ground has to be tilled. The rock's got to be picked. The weed's got to be rooted out, and you got to plant righteousness thinking, plant redeemed thinking, plant right with God thinking. And then allow that to overtake your mind. And then, not only do you have to plant it, you got to tend it. And then you got to keep tending it. Well, people say, well, how long do I have to tend it? Until you leave your body. Well, that's a long time. It's actually kind of short compared to eternity. Your mind must be treated and maintained with consistent renewal by the Word of God. Do you remember when we talked about not allowing truths to slip? It says in Hebrews, you got to give the more earnest heed to these truths because they'll slip. Remember what Peter said? He said, I'm going to make sure that you can remember what I've taught you. In other words, as humans, there is two forces, spiritual forces working in the earth, and they both vie for attention and they both vie for place in our mind. They want place in our mind. One is a pusher. The other one is a patient leader. The spirit of the enemy is drive and conform. The spirit of Christ is come over here and let me transform. That's why it's easier for you to think carnally than it is to think spiritually. It's much easier. Any old dead fish can float downstream. You ever notice that? Do you ever notice that when I was in high school and grade school, junior high, whatever, there were Christian shirts were just starting to get popular. Now there's like tons of Christian clothing lines, you know, all that stuff. Back when, like in the early days of of Christian shirts coming out. I mean, our Christian shirts were obvious because they were so poorly done. You know what I mean? It's taken a while for the church. But they had this one that was a fish. It was the Jesus fish swimming one direction with all the other fish swimming the other direction. And it was a swim upstream thing. And it's harder in this world to be a Christian. Now, not in the byproduct of what you get, but it's harder than it is to just live like the world. Anybody can live like the world. Something happened with the computer. I don't know what. Time's up. It's easier to live like the world, to live carnally. I mean, just allow your flesh to do what it wants for a day. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? You have a day off and you're like, I'm just going to do what I want to do today. Just what I, and what you mean is whatever you feel like doing. But then do you ever notice your body does not want to go back to the way it was the next day? Why? Because you're the nature of the world, the nature of your flesh, the nature of carnality is to just kind of float into laziness. Actually, death is really what it boils down to. There is an intense spiritual battle waging for the imaginations of humanity. I was reading that today and I just heard the Holy Spirit say that. There is an intense spiritual battle waging for the imaginations of humanity. Why? Because your mind is powerful. You have the ability to picture things and then bring them to pass. Oh, no, Sean, that's not a Christian thing. It's a totally godly thing. It's just that the enemy, people think, well, no, that's not the way it is. Go to a secular seminar on how to become a good salesperson. Listen, read a book on a major entrepreneur in our culture. They are going to tell you what they did and how they did it. And what they did is they pictured what they wanted in their mind, and they put everything in that direction. Your mind is powerful. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If the enemy can mess up a believer's thinking, then he can defeat that believer and make them ineffective in their witness. I don't know about you, but my mind is my mind. And I don't just let any thoughts sit in my head. I will not let them sit there. Why? Battleground. I'm a soldier. I get after, Brother Hagin used to say to us, if he ever had unforgiveness towards somebody or he saw just a hint of a lack of love or ill will towards somebody in his mind or his heart, he said, as we'd say down in Texas, I get after it tooth and toenail. That should put a mental picture in your mind of you trying to put your foot in your mouth. It's hard, but it's work. But you get after it and you get it done. Why? Because you don't want any bitterness in you. You don't want any bitterness in you. Well, they did this to me and that to me. Yeah, and you need to forgive them. Well, it's unfair. Uh-huh. And you need to forgive them. How fair was it the way you treated Christ? We'll just bring it down to the very end, and that way we can just deal with it straight up. How fair was it that Christ died for me? You forgive him, and you let it go. You let it go. I'm just telling you so you can save your life from destruction. Amen? So, the Mirror Bible says this. It says, we see here in verse 2 that we are supposed to not allow our mind to be conformed, that we are to take action in making sure our minds are transformed. Notice where the responsibility lies for this process to take place. We have a role to play, taking hold of the grace of God by the mercies of God in this area and putting it into action by faith. The process of renewal is a key to walking out the will of God for us on a greater and greater level. Isn't that so true? Oh my goodness. Let me skip down here to verse 3 and we'll end right here. So you remember what I read on verse 3, and this point will really help you. The New King James says it this way, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith." The Mirror Bible says it this way. Listen to this now. "His grace gift inspires me to say to you that your thinking must be consistent with everything that is within you according to the measure of faith that God has apportioned to every individual." Listen to this. "Let the revelation of redemption shape your thoughts." Let the revelation of redemption shape your thoughts. You have to allow that truth to transform the way you think. In other words, and you saw it on the video, you have to allow your mind to go from maggot to butterfly. Come on. From worm to butterfly. From something that's creepy and crawly to something that you'll let land on your finger. Something that can fly. You have to let the revelation of redemption shape your thoughts. I mean, this is, it's so, the truth is so powerful. It's simple. A child can get it, but it's a faith fight to hang on to it. We probably need to talk about how to battle in the spirit in your mind. Because some people are like, you know, I'm going to, you know, fasting and praying is good. But, you know, like people have talked about warring in the spirit, and they rent a helicopter or get in a helicopter, and they get their camouflage clothing on, and they're Christians, and they go up into the heavenlies in the helicopter, and they rebuke the devil. And they just take him out over a city. No, they didn't. There's only one thing that can stop the enemy from functioning in your mind. Paul did not like get on the highest point of the city of Ephesus and start rebuking the strongholds. He just went in and turned the light on. There's a scripture in Matthew 6. And it talks about worry. And it talks about, everybody's familiar with Matthew 6. Most people are familiar with Matthew 6:33. But anyway, it talks about not worrying, okay, and caring about your life. But there's a phrase in there, and it says this: "Take no thought saying." Take no thought saying. Think about it with me. What if a thought comes to me of depression? What am I going to say? Am I going to say, "I must be depressed"? Take no thought saying. So what I will do is, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have the mind of Christ." So I'm saying something, but what thought am I taking? I'm taking his thoughts. And I'm rejecting what? The enemy's thoughts. "Well, nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me." That's not true. Jesus loves you and likes you. "Well, that's not enough." Jesus is more than enough. But if you take a thought, and that thought can come through anybody. It can come through mean people at school. It can come through mean people at work. But you have to look at that thought and go, that is not the shape, nor the smell, nor the aroma, nor the look of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I will not take that thought. That is not who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the enemy wants to squash this, you understand. He wants to destroy it in you. Why? Because if you realize who you are in Christ, you will turn the world right side up. You will turn your world right side up, and then it will trickle down. Come on, trickle down economics. Ronald Reagan was right. I'm not that old. There's got to be some people in here that remember that. Okay. If I could have, I'd have voted for him. But I was still a wee lad. Does the thought shape, does it have the shape of the resurrection? If it doesn't, throw it out. Choose your words and you'll take your thoughts. You can hold them. You can hold your mind with your words. People say, if you've been in a thought battle for a long time and not used the Spirit and the revelation and the Word of God as your weapon against those things, it's going to be a fight. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be a fight. You're going to have to fight. But when thoughts come to you that you're going under, not going over, and that you're not going to have enough, and that money's not going to be, you got to say, no, the Lord supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No, He is Jehovah Jireh. He is El Shaddai. He will take care of me. Well, you're not going to be able to retire. I'm going to refire. I want to come to the end of my life. I want to be at the end. And the enemy's going to go, man, we are glad he's getting out of here. He has been messing things up for a long time. And then I want to look at him and go, I think I'll stick around another 15 years. But see, I don't want to just have that mentality. I want you to have that mentality. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He's good. Remember, no Wednesday night service next week. Okay, you'll come and nobody will be here. So, yeah, I'll text you. I'll remind you. Bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Oh, don't forget the Believers Rally is this coming. Yeah, starts Friday night. And you can watch them live. They live stream all of them if you want to catch any of them. You're welcome to do so. I don't know what their website is, but it's Breakforth Bible Church. So in Dickinson.org, breakforthbiblechurch.org.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.